Amen.
Amen. Please go ahead and be seated.
Well, good morning. A little more intimate group here this morning. Obviously, the Got to Know group is meeting. They wanted to encourage Michael and Christelle. Just have a special service for all of the years, they have spent, you know, helping them and encouraging them over the years. And then, of course, we had a wedding over the weekend. And Aiden and Rachel got married. And so there's a lot of people at that as well. But here we are. I don't want to say the leftovers, but leftovers are good, right? They're not a bad thing. They're actually a good thing. Yes. But we're going to continue our discussion and really helping us think about what it means to see and savor Jesus. Carson talked about grace. We need grace. We need lots of grace. You know, Jesus set a high bar. And he calls us to live the life that he gave as an example. He calls us to love as he loved. He calls us to serve as he served. He calls us to sacrifice as he sacrificed. And I don't know about you, but there are many times I go, how can I really do this? Can I, in fact, live the life that Jesus wants me to live? Because I mess up all the time. I sin. I don't have the vision that God has. In the midst of challenges, it's hard to sort through. Where is Jesus in it all? So how can I love like Jesus loves? How can I be selfless? How can I have the energy? How can I love enemies? Today we're going to talk about love that is energized by faith. But what is faith? I'm sure you can quote the passage in Hebrews. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. But then I ask myself, what in the world does that mean? Have you thought about it? Like, don't just kind of throw the verse out, but think about what that means. Faith is this idea that there is a conviction that we have, I mean a deep conviction, even though there may be some uncertainty. Sure. Faith is saying that I am all in. All the chips, everything is, I am all in this life. Even though there is some uncertainty. But I'm going to live with conviction. I'm going to live with an understanding that this is, in fact, real. It's a conviction to step out into the unknown. A confidence that I am all in. A trusting that everything that I will move forward, God is going to see me through. You see, Jesus is a great example. Like I said, he sets a high bar. But we need more than the example. Somehow, looking at the example does not always translate in me living out the example. So what is going to be required for me to live that out? And I think that's what we want to talk about today. It's going to require a faith. It's going to require a love that is energized by faith, that allows us to be transformed from the inside out. See, there's a much greater battle that goes on in our lives. And what needs to be transformed in us is the inside. Because we can appear religious on the outside. We can appear that we are models of Jesus on the outside, but we know what's really going on the inside. But to really live the life that Jesus calls us to live is going to require some extra oomph, some extra stuff that really does transform us. So how do I love like Him? Again, it's going to require faith. You know, we can't give what we haven't received. We can't pour out what we have not been filled with. We can't feed others if we have not been fed. We can't touch others if we have not been touched. We cannot heal if we ourselves have not been healed. And so you can't really pour out, feed, touch, heal without going out on faith. Living a life of faith. We need something to sustain us. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary, who are burdened." That's us, right? "And I will give you rest." He talks about being the bread of life, the living water. And so the Apostle John talks about loving so much in his letters. And he challenges the followers to have a deep love that comes from within, that is from God. Loving God means loving others. It transforms and transcends all the relationships in our lives. So in order to have this love that is energized by faith, first of all, we got to know who we are and whose we are. In 1 John 3, it says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. You are a child of God, a son and a daughter. The challenge is we come from different DNA. All over the map, literally. But what does God do? He adopts us and brings us into His family. What's amazing sometimes with adopted children is how much they begin to take on the characteristics of the family and the behaviors of the family. They can look much different, but act so much similar. And so the behaviors are shaped by the parents, by the father and the mother. And so similarly, we come from all these different experiences and backgrounds, cultures and languages, and yet we're adopted. And God shapes us, and the community shapes us, the family shapes us. And so we need to understand that it's who we are, who you are. If you understand that you are God's son and daughter, that really does shape how you live. It shapes your behavior. It shapes your thinking. It shapes the decisions that you make in your life. There's a lot of talk about the authentic self. I'm going to be authentic. Well, your authentic self lies in God. That's your authentic self. He created you. He said, You are my son, my daughter. It's no longer my authentic self. It becomes my authenticity comes from God. And that authenticity shapes and makes us different from the world, from a different family. But again, this is all shaped by our faith and our vision. And nothing challenges us sometimes more than, and even our faith, is even our relationships with one another. When they're challenged. Or how much we feel about the community and the family that we're a part of. And we desire to live perhaps in isolation. But that's not how God's family and community are meant to live. Our relationships are meant to be lived out in community. And sometimes our family mistreat us. Sometimes our family hurts us. And we've got to learn to love on a different level. When Jesus talks about loving your enemies, he's talking about loving on a much deeper and different level. And what is that going to require? Faith. To love deeply like Jesus requires faith, because you're going into the unknown. You may think you know. I mean, don't we all kind of measure conflict and go, I kind of know where this is going? Right? Don't we play the tapes in our heads, the conversations? But it's going to require this faith to step out and go, I'm not going to rely on those conversations anymore. I'm going to rely on God. And I'm going to rely on the love of God to get me through these challenges. That stepping out in faith is vulnerable. Stepping out in faith is difficult. It is uncertain. But that, again, is what Jesus calls us to be. We're all brought into God's family. Everyone that loves has been fathered by God and knows God. 1 John 4, 7-13. If God so loved us, then we ought to love one another. If we love one another, God resides in us and His love is perfected in us. You see what it's saying? As we love and we live by faith and we live by community, God resides in us and it's made perfect in us. See, you have a different father. You have a different one motivating you and changing you. God's desire is to create you to love and to have a community that loves and feels support and encouragement. And so now we know and rely on the love that God has for us. That's faith. Again, to go into unknown areas, to love deeply when I could be hurt, requires faith. To be vulnerable when I could be hurt, requires faith. You don't pick and choose who you love, though. You don't base love on how you were treated, or whether someone has been loyal to you or not. You're driven by the heart and character of the Father who has adopted you. That's a high bar. Right? That's a high bar. I want to just take us on a journey for a second as we kind of look at the life of Jesus. And I'm going to paraphrase some of the narrative that's taken from Mark. And in Mark chapter 9, he sends out his disciples to preach good news, and they return, and they're telling him about what's happened. And of course, John the Baptist, in the midst of this, is killed. Life's crazy. There's coming and going, and they don't even have any time to eat because there's so many demands that have been placed on them in the afternoon. And Jesus says, let's get away someplace quiet and get some rest. That sounds like a good plan, right? When you're feeling stressed, when you feel it, feeling chaos, what do you want to do? Let's just escape. Let's go on vacation. Let's go down to the beach. Let's go to the mountains. Let's go to someplace peaceful. Let's play some quiet jazz and relax. Well, guess what happens? It's a great plan. He decides to go to this solitary place, which sounds nice, but guess what happens? The crowds follow him. They actually get there ahead of him. Now, imagine what you would be thinking right now. What would you be thinking? Great. Are you kidding me? Like, leave me alone. Okay, where's the next place? Let's go on to the next place. This obviously was not far enough. We need to get farther away. So the crowds are there. And how are you feeling? You're probably tired. You're exhausted. You're mad. You're frustrated. You're discouraged. What would Sean want to do? Get back in the boat and go somewhere else. What does Jesus do? When Jesus landed and saw the crowds, that's a whole other deep thing to meditate on. Jesus always noticed. He always looked. He always sees. But when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. That to love like this is going to require a faith. He continues to teach them until it gets late. And then they need to eat. And Jesus says, guys, let's give them something to eat. Jesus, we got nothing. We got nothing. 5 barley loaves and 2 sardines. But what does a good shepherd do? He takes care of the sheep. He feeds the 5,000. They all ate and were satisfied. That's Psalm 23 right there. The Lord's my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He prepares a table before me. My cup overflows. Goodness and mercy has followed me. That, again, for us to love like this requires some faith. But that's what love does. Jesus has the very heart of his Father. Now, Jesus does something I find very profound. He dismisses the crowd. That is totally opposite of any celebrity, any politician. They don't dismiss the crowd. They leave. Jesus dismisses the crowd. Think about that for a second. That requires faith. That requires a love. A deep, deep love. Then he goes off to pray. That's not my first reaction. Often during times like this where it's been chaotic, I want to do something mind-numbing. You know, I used to run during times like this. Or mountain bike. Just get away. Watch TV and just let the kind of life happen around us. Jesus goes off to pray. See, there's Jesus. That's his food source. That requires faith. For us to stop in the midst of life and to actually pray requires faith because I'm tired, I'm exhausted. I have to now believe that God is going to energize me with some sort of supernatural energy. And he may or may not give it to you. You still may be exhausted. I would like to think, you know, I pray and I pop up and I'm able to go on for another whole day. It might be I can barely get up off my knees because I'm still tired. See, again, faith, but this love is energized by a deep, deep faith. Jesus stays up all night and he walks on the water. 3 o'clock in the morning, he freaks out his disciples. He's in the middle of the lake. They're struggling with the wind. And Mark tells us they didn't get it. Their hearts were hardened. That's us. They arrive at the other side of the lake. It's early in the morning and they haven't got any rest. The people recognized Jesus and ran throughout the whole region. They brought the sick and they laid them on the mats. And the people on the mats, the villages and the towns and the countryside. Imagine this now. You've just spent all night in prayer. Then, okay, God, you're going to provide some relief. I'm going to get some rest. But that's not what happens. Everywhere Jesus went, imagine this, people lay out their mats for him to heal. Is that not overwhelming or what? Mark tells us all who touched him were healed. That is a love energized by faith. I don't know how much to keep going on about this in the sense of I got lots of notes. But I find it extremely challenging. I find it somewhat overwhelming. But this is, again, where God wants us to step out into areas and places that we've perhaps not been. That's what faith, isn't that what faith is though? Again, isn't it beyond just faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of, I mean, it's not a slogan. It's not a slogan. It now becomes how we actually live our lives. That we love so deeply, so intensely, that's going to require a supernatural kind of energy. It's going to require a faith. You know, I ask myself, why do I look to Jesus? Just example? Or is it to get something from him? You know, if you keep reading on in these stories, the people come and you know, they've been fed once and they're coming again, and Jesus says, why are you here? I've given you something to eat. And I ponder the question and I go, why do we come to Jesus? Is it something that we need from him, that we expect from him, that he's provided something before and now we expect him to provide something again? We all, in our Christian lives, wrestle with the fact that, hey, if I live by faith, I expect it to go good. But if I live by faith, there is no guarantee that life goes good. And now I'm forced to live by faith continually to allow God to shape me. But why do I? What are there personal agendas, expectations, things that I want God to do to fill me, fulfill, satisfy, meet my desires, my wishes, my expectations? Again, I know he wants to do things in our lives, make no mistake. But it's about a faith that is grounded in a relationship with him. We're in a spiritual battle. This is the realm of faith. It's out of my control, and it puts me completely into the hands of God. I don't like that. I like control. I like tangible. I like something I can touch. I like something I can feel. I like something I can experience. I don't like something that I just believe. But that's faith. Faith is not some spiritual energy that we just gutted out. Have you ever been there? God, give me faith. Give me faith. Give me faith. Give me faith. It's grounded in your relationship with God. It's not grounded in gutting it out. Now, make no mistake about it that faith requires some gutting it out because it takes us into places that are uncomfortable. But for faith to shape us is not just this gutting things out in our lives. Faith is relational. It is connection. It is dependence. It is going into unknown areas. It's seeing that I am empty. I need to be filled. I need to be touched. I need to be changed. I need to be transformed. It comes from within. It's not just what I do. It comes from within and shapes my very lifestyle and my very heart. And so at some point, the example of Jesus must become life in us, not just the example. The example is there, but at some point when we are faithful, when we love deeply, the example of Jesus begins to shape our lives. And let me just say, I'm reflecting with you, okay? I'm reflecting with you in this sermon because I'm milling it over in my own brain and my own heart because I don't have it figured out. We must strive to live like Him, believe like Him, think like Him, love like Him. All this requires a faith. It's stepping into the unknown. It's saying that I am all in. I hold nothing back. I have a complete surrender. In my faith, I will love like Jesus and I will allow Him to be energized by my faith. It's a good wrestle, right? Well, maybe not good. It's an important wrestle. It is a good wrestle. But it's an important wrestle. See, seeing and savoring Jesus is to allow our faith to shape how we really do live. That's why this whole series is when you savor something, you enjoy it, you reflect on it, you... That's why, I love different ethnic foods because the seasoning and the spices and when you taste it, I have a very keen nose and smell and therefore I have a very keen taste and I love the nuances of spice. I say that to say that's how God wants us to enjoy and how Jesus wants us to enjoy Him. That we see different aspects of Him. That we aren't just simply driven by the love that He has. That's great. But we're driven by the passion that He has. We're driven by all of the different nuances of Jesus' character. And we not just see it, but we savor it. And that, again, requires a faith to kind of step out into the unknown. Did you know Jesus had a love that sometimes needed to be energized by faith? Kind of as we make a transition to communion. Think about his wrestle in the garden. I don't want to do this. God, do you have me? And I don't know if he wrestled this way. I mean, I'm throwing this out there. I know my death will mean salvation, but there is an uncertainty. There is I'm going to die. My life, the finality of my life is being over, takes me into an area of an unknown. So even Jesus, and he had to surrender by faith his whole ministry. Even the things that I went through, he had to go, God, really? Like, but I'm going to leap out. But in the garden, he surrenders. He says, it's not about me, because I am your son and I will trust you. I don't want to do this, but I will act in faith. I will trust that my father is right. I will trust that he will raise me from the dead. He won't leave me in the tomb. I will trust that what he has said and what he has meant, that my death will mean salvation for everyone. That required a faith that Jesus even had to believe that God would fulfill all of the things that he wanted to do in his life. So even as we take communion, it's reflective of what we're talking about. That Jesus surrendered, Jesus was all in, Jesus acted, his life of love was fueled by his faith in his Father. And as we take communion this morning, our love for him, our love for one another, our communion in our community is fueled by the faith that we have by God. Let's pray. Father, we are amazed at your love for us. We are challenged by the bar that Jesus has set for us in our lives. We're challenged by his example. And yet, we know that he had to live a faith. He had to live a trust in you as his Father. We need to live out our lives of faith, because we are your sons and your daughters. Shape us, change us, mold us. Help us to be all in our faith. Help us to be fully committed, fully engaged. Yes, that takes us into scary places. But God, we want to surrender our lives. And there is nothing more that shows us an example of surrender than the cross. That Jesus died, was beaten, cruelly treated, so that we would experience salvation, trusting that he would be raised, that we too could be raised to a new life. We thank you, and we love you, and we ask that you fuel our love by our faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you hadn't had a chance to get a communion cup, please raise your hand, and they'll make sure you get one. Yeah. Thank you.
King of my life, around me now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast slain. Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Like Mary through the gloom, come with a gift to thee. Show to me now the empty tomb. Lead me to Calvary. Forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share, thou hast borne all for me. I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary.
So much for that that message. That was powerful. Loving like Jesus truly comes from faith that's rooted in our understanding, but not our understanding of our identity, but the identity God has for us, regardless of the circumstances that you go through. And I think Jesus clearly showed that throughout the scripture in the stories that you shared. So thank you once again. Let's go to our Father in prayer once again. Dear God, thank you for our brother Sean and his message today. Help us, remind us through the week to know that regardless of what happens and regardless of what we're going through, that we have identity in you.
Right.
And then we can have faith that you have a plan for us. God, right. I pray for the brothers and sisters in this church today. They have a wonderful week ahead. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We do have some announcements. We'll pass it on to right here.
Okay, so I know there's a big party on Friday.
Yes.
You're going to talk about that, but that's not why I'm here.
Okay.
Because we have a singles ministry, in case
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And we're having an end of summer bash. I know a lot of people here are not here because we're losing two of our singles because they got married this weekend. Come on, they got married this weekend. So we are having an end of summer bash for the remaining singles, as well as the YoPro and Campus are also invited. It will be this Saturday at 2 p.m. at the Francis Hall, and the theme is tropical. So come dressed to the theme.
Wow.
Be prepared to party. It is starting at 2. There will be swimming, hot tub, food will be provided. There's also going to be some fun and games happening. So it's going to be a great evening.
Wow.
All singles, all YoPro, all Campus are encouraged to attend. Bring your friends, your colleagues. More the merrier. However, we do ask that you RSVP by the 19th. So that we can make sure we have enough food for everybody who's planning to come.
Sure.
Okay?
That's
so more information will be in the newsletter for anybody who wants more information.
Yes.
You can RSVP to JK or to myself. We're keeping a tally. Thank you.
Okay.
As we mentioned, we also have a worship night on Friday at 6 p.m. And this will also be a send-off for Michael and Christelle. And this will be at the Sandy Hill. Community center. Yeah.
Weekend of parties.
Exactly.
Party weekend.
Awesome. And then we have one more song too.
Awesome.
Okay. Okay. Please stand together.
Okay.
As we sing one more song to close out our worship service. Unto thee, O Lord. Unto thee, O Lord.
Unto thee, O Lord.
Do I lift up my soul? Unto thee, O Lord.
Unto thee, O Lord.
Do I lift up my soul?
Do I lift up my soul?
O my God.
O my God.
I trust in thee.
Oh,
let me not be ashamed of my enemies triumph over me. Let none that way.
Let none that way.
On me be ashamed.
On me be ashamed.
Let none that way.
Let none that way.
On thee be ashamed.
Oh
my God.
Oh my God.
I trust in thee. Oh, let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Remember not.
The
sins of my youth.
The sins of my youth.
Remember not.
Remember not.
The sins of my youth.
The sins of my youth.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I trust in thee.
I trust in thee.
Oh, let me not be ashamed.
Let
not
my enemies
triumph over me. Teach me thy path.
Teach me thy path.
Thy ways, O Lord.
Thy ways, O Lord.
Teach me thy path.
Teach me thy path.
Thy ways, O Lord.
Thy ways, O Lord.
O my God.
O my God.
I trust in thee.
I trust in thee.
Oh, let me not be ashamed.
Let not my enemies
triumph over me. Unto thee, O Lord. Unto thee, O Lord.
Unto thee, O Lord.
Do I lift up my soul?
Do I lift up my soul?
Unto thee, O Lord.
Unto thee, O Lord.
Do
I lift up my soul. Oh my God,
I trust in thee.
I let me not be ashamed of God, my enemies triumph over me. Oh, let me not be ashamed of God, my enemies triumph over me. Oh, let me not be ashamed that my enemies triumph over me.